Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast, the day after Christmas. It is the 26th of December, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson on the news, including how you can give the gift of blue, as in FFA, and a new scholarship opportunity for female freshmen. The Hat Podcast today brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Also, Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says clouds and some degree of rain remains today. And the grain and oilseed markets traded mixed Tuesday in that Christmas Eve half session. We'll have thoughts from Arlen Suderman coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Give the gift of blue this giving season and a scholarship opportunity for college female freshmen. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. This is the season of giving. And what better way to give than to give the gift of leadership skills, personal growth, and career success. You can do that by giving the gift of blue through FFA.
That's our identity. And when we put that FFA jacket on, that gives us a community that is so much bigger than who we are individually.
That's National FFA President Thaddeus Bergschneider from Illinois talking about the well-recognized FFA jacket that means so much to each of the over 1 million FFA members nationwide.
And you can give that gift to FFA members across the country, helping remove that financial barrier and giving them the opportunity to have a place and a jacket within our organization.
An $85 gift will provide a member with a jacket and tie or scarf. A donation of any amount helps. Bergschneider explains what it was like the first time he put on an FFA jacket.
My first contest was Ag Sales as a freshman. And at that time, I didn't have my own FFA jacket. And so I have on my dress pants, I have on my white shirt, I have on my tie, I need to leave in 10 minutes. Dad, I don't have an FFA jacket. And he takes me back in the closet and he digs out his. And it's more purple than blue at this point, but I put it on and yeah, it might not fit completely right, but it's an FFA jacket. So for my first FFA competition, I was Paul Bergschneider. And then when I was elected to be the National FFA president, actually, I put that jacket back on because I figured I'd want that to be the last jacket I wore because it was also the first jacket I wore. So that first FFA jacket has a special place in my heart.
If you're thinking about end-of-year giving, visit ffa.org/giveblue to donate. National FFA is a nonprofit 501c3. Your donation is tax-deductible. You will receive an email receipt for tax purposes. If you're a freshman in college and you're female, you might want to listen up. Sabrina Halverson has a scholarship opportunity for you, and the deadline is fast approaching.
Durango Boots is making an impact on the Western community through its National Day of the Cowgirl Scholarship, but the deadline is just days away. The scholarship awards $30,000 to a freshman female undergraduate who is pursuing a Western-affiliated degree, with the funds distributed over 3 years to help alleviate the cost of higher education. Erin DeLong is the marketing manager for Durango Boots, and she explains the inspiration behind the program.
There was a National Day of the Cowboy holiday, but there really wasn't a day dedicated to the cowgirls or the women in the Western industry that I think really make our world go round, or who are the backbone behind a lot of great initiatives and companies and brands. And so we got it proclaimed through the National Day Archives. September 15th, cowgirls, no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, your age, you are celebrated.
The scholarship began in 2023 and is open to U.S. and Canadian residents enrolled in a 4-year program, with the focus being on the Western industry. Last year's recipient is Caitlin Collins, a Texas Tech student and aspiring veterinarian specializing in large animals. Applications for the 2024 scholarship are only open until December 31st.
We're very optimistic that the second annual application process is going to be even bigger than the first one. So really, we're at the tip of the iceberg right now. I think with the the opportunity that lies ahead within this program. One cowgirl at a time, we're going to apply this to, but who knows down the road what may transpire with this as it continues to grow.
You can get more information online. We've put a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Thanks, Sabrina. While you're there at HoosierAgToday.com, check out the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast with ISDA Director Don Lamb. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classes. Classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup across the Hoosier State today, not seeing a lot of moisture, but it's just a damp overall feel. Temperatures are moderating a little bit. We'll continue to see milder temperatures as we move through the weekend, but we do not get into any kind of a dry air mass at all. So I think through the day today, clouds are going to dominate. Spits, sprinkles, drizzle still around in some areas. Not statewide, but there's still moisture here. That's hence the damp talking point that is in our forecast today. Tomorrow, we do have moisture coming out of Missouri Valley and Arkansas, moving right through the Hoosier State, having us pick up some good rain activity through the entirety of your Friday. Saturday and Sunday, we kind of back off on the coverage, probably only looking at about 40 to 50% coverage either day, hit and miss of scattered showers. Saturday morning, midday, then we take a break Saturday night into early Sunday before moisture comes back central and southeastern parts of the state Sunday afternoon and evening. Combined, if you go from tomorrow through Sunday, I think we have to work in here anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch with coverage at around 80 to 90% of the Hoosier State. Behind that, we still stay mild on Monday with a mix of clouds and maybe some sunshine. I'm not counting on much. And then we get into Tuesday, low pressure passing through, warm air to start, but I think rain ends as snow, probably some accumulation for New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Day is significantly colder. Arctic air coming out of the Canadian prairies right down across the Great Lakes. It wants to park here through the rest of next week. So from New Year's Eve right on through Saturday, Sunday, the 4th and 5th, we're going to be below normal. I don't see us moderating temperatures at all until we get well into the week of the 6th and 7th, and that's going to be with an upper-level ridge that forms first out over the western U.S. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed going into the Christmas break. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. It was a partial day of trade on Tuesday, and the markets ended mixed. We'll have settlements coming up. First, market analysis. And I grab that at the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Markets are up in the case of corn and beans, although really close to even throughout the shortened trading session on Tuesday for the corn market. Wheat goes a little lower. Arlen, is this pretty much a typical Christmas Eve trading session as far as volume and really a lack of news, too?
Yeah, it really is. Kind of drifting. And I think in relation to the Christmas that were the year 2003, I think it was, when the cow stole Christmas. We had the mad cow disease and the markets went berserk on Christmas Eve. And glad we didn't have that today. But pretty quiet. We started thin out yesterday and got even thinner today. And the markets have chopped a little bit of support underneath the corn and soybeans, and wheat saw some weakness, kind of taking away most of yesterday's gains, mostly just kind of consolidating within recent trading ranges. Nobody really wanted to go outside of that and just wants to be able to wrap up the for the holiday period and come back after the holidays and join the rest of their co-traders who are already taken off.
Would that suggest on Thursday and Friday when we get back to trade yet another light volume day in all likelihood?
Yeah, probably not as light as today, but maybe more consistent with what we saw on Monday, or maybe a little bit less on Thursday and Friday. And then the real question is, what about next week? Because Wednesday of next week is also a holiday with being the New Year's. And while it's a full trading day on New Year's Eve, some people want to be there to close out their books for the year, so to speak. But otherwise, we're expecting this kind of erratic trade to go right on into probably January 6th.
Let's talk about the corn market, a very narrow Tuesday range of trade, just 2 cents. However, this is a market that's been caught in between beans and wheat, by and large, most trading sessions, although it seems always attempting a push to the high side. Is there some underlying strength there, in your opinion?
Well, I think the interesting thing about the corn market is that, yes, as you said, we're looking at a triangle formation which shows some upside risks for the near crop and nearby March contract. It keeps bumping up against resistance right around that 452 area or so. And that's where we put a high in for early October. And again, in December, we ran into the 200-day moving average there. And so it's kind of a flat horizontal resistance level. But every time we break down from that, we don't go down as far as we did the last time. And so we're working our way up for a test of that. Will that be the January crop report? Maybe a surprise there that might be able to push through. We don't know that, but that's kind of the bias. When you look at the new crop December 25 contract, it has the opposite appearance, where it keeps kind of a flat bottom in support right around the 4.25 mark or so. Each time it bounces off of that, it doesn't go as high as the last time it bounced. And so it's looking weaker. So what that tells us is we have strong demand for corn now. And if we have any weather problems with the Argentine corn crop, we could push it higher. And we're very early in that Argentine growing season. And the outlook for the next 6 weeks does have a dry bias to it, although they've had good rains over the last month. But as we look ahead to the 2025 crop right now, the expectations are that we're going to expand acreage. The market always assumes normal weather in the Midwest, and so that we'll have abundant supply. So kind of going in opposite directions, old crop versus new crop.
Talk about soybean demand. Any similarity at all to corn, which you characterized as strong?
Soybeans quite the opposite. They're looking very vulnerable. In fact, as we look at the January to March contracts, both, they're looking like they're working lower and weaker and kind of holding support at the August and December lows for now. But how much longer will they be able to hold it is the primary question, as they're looking quite vulnerable to the downside. And much of that's going to come down to, is the Brazilian crop as big as we think it is? Will the weather keep them from harvesting that crop, or will it be harvested in a timely manner? And what will U.S. exports do at that point, even though exports are very strong right now and much stronger than what we would seasonally expect to hit USDA's target? The expectation is that once that Brazilian crop is available, our demand is going to drop off about the same time as we see domestic demand also back off, because we don't have the 45Z guidelines for the green diesels and sustainable aviation fuel.
Arlen Suderman, Market Analysis. Arlen with Stone X. Now, the final numbers from Tuesday trade, 448.5 on the March corn, up 3/4. May contract along with July going up 1.5 cents. May 455, July ends at 457.25. Up 0.25 on January and March beans, 975.25 for Jan, March 981.25. $0.06 higher, May contract $9.90, and down $0.0075 on March, May, and July Chicago wheat. March finishes at $5.34¾. The meats, very quiet. February live cattle, $0.07 lower, $1.8737. And February lean hogs actually ending flat, unchanged at $84.37. Merry Christmas. Markets closed on Christmas Day. Back for a full session on Thursday along with Friday trade. I'm Ian to Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.